Hello, you're listening to the Tim and John show, where two grown men sort of stare confusedly at the other one, waiting for the other person to go on.
Hey, guess what I saw the other day? I want to ask you about this because it really confused me. Squeezable tomato soup. Have you come across this at all?
No, that is already. I feel like a bit like my brain's hurting. Why?
This is what I want to know. It's in, I saw it in a supermarket next to all the other soups, and it just looks like tomato puree, but it's not, it's soup.
Are you supposed to mix it with, is it really concentrated, and you're supposed to mix it with something else?
I assume that that must be it, but why? Why would you have to, why would they make a soup that's more difficult and complicated than soup? Soup's easy. I can make soup.
John, you're turning into kind of like the columnist for kind of like the People's Friend or something. Going, I went to today, got in the car, I had electric windows. What are they all about? I enjoy rolling down a window.
Squeezable soup, though.
World's too full of gadgets, John. It's all done. Soon, soup will just be done on computers. It'll be on the internet. E-soup, probably.
Squeezable soup. Yeah, that made me really painful. Painfully uncomfortable. And also...
What focus group has said, you know... Like, I think the key thing for anything that's a real-world problem is if you went up it and you used it as a lead-in for a piece of stand-up. Like, if you go up on stage and you went, hey, so everybody, you know when you can't get, like, the last bit of soup out of the carton? No, am I right?
Yeah, yeah.
Everyone go, no, you're wrong. That's never
fine.
Happened to any of us. We don't... You would it would be a losing proposition as a stand up as a stand up gambit in the best, but everyone would look at you like you'd just come from B universe.
Yeah, but it's not like when squeezable tomato ketchup came out because everyone was quite excited by that. I remember that we're of an age that we remember squeezable ketchup coming out. I was talking to one of my friends recently who's a bit younger than me, and I said, this is when I realised I was getting a bit older. I said, oh, you won't have been around before squeezable ketchup.
Do you remember the advert that had a young Joey out of Friends?
Yeah, I do,
propping a bottle on top of the... And then he had his voice dubbed into English. Even though he's obviously in New York. No, he buys a hot dog from a New York hot dog vendor, both of which they dubbed into, like, sort of, like, very broad, kind of, like, estuary English.
Yeah.
Do you want ketchup with that, mate? No, thanks. I've got it covered. Dee-nee-nee-nee-nee, like, guitar lick as the ketchup lands on his little... hot dog, so to speak.
Do you know which food substance I'm going to try out this week as I can?
No, but I'm desperate to find out.
I heard someone talking about it in the pub last night. Curiously cinnamon. It's a breakfast cereal.
I've been eating Kellogg's Minimax. I've had a new cereal this week.
What's a Minimax?
I know it sounds contradictory. It's just like little, it's like little shredded wheat. It's basically Kellogg's Toppers rebranded.
Oh, okay. Is it good?
It's all right.
It's all right.
I've eaten a box and a half of it in like 3 days, but I think that just because I'm depressed.
Oh, right, fair enough.
You can just eat a lot of it.
Yeah.
So what's Cinemax? Or was it called Cinemax, or did I just like bind our two series cereals together?
It's called Cinnamon.
Have you made notes?
Curiously Cinnamon, it's called.
You.
Well, I went to the pub last night. It's a pub near my house, which is a really nice pub. And I go there sometimes by myself to do some writing because I don't have no mate.
Well, what kind of writing is that, John? Like angry letters to exes? I don't need you no more. No, it's okay. You wouldn't do that.
It's letters
you probably write to... You probably got old ladies who are pen friends.
That's right. It's postal chess. I'd love to go to a pub and play postal chess. It might take a while. Like, is it just one move at a time? It must be just one move at a time.
Yeah, you can't, like, have... you do this, then you can't set up branch and things. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so I was in the pub and I was just overhearing this conversation between four students. They were in their last year of university and they're really excited because they're about to do their exams. I think the exams is end of May, isn't it? So it's kind of coming up to the last semester and or the last part of the second semester. And they're all really kind of like, really excited about... one of them, unfortunately, used the line, "I can't believe after just a few more weeks there'll be no more work." It's like, yeah, that might be quite prophetic in the current job climate. And it's one of those really interesting conversations to observe from afar because they're just groups of mates who were getting on really, really well. They were really lovely. And it's like people who hate students, they should go to a real ale pub and see kind of the nice side of students that you don't see on Prince of Wales Road or kind of at Mercy and those kind of clubs. And these were just like lovely young people.
And John, you're coming across as increasingly creepy. You should just watch some students. I just go to pubs and just watch students. They're really lovely young people.
And they probably, this is about 10 p.m. so they'd probably had like maybe 3 or 4 pints and they were having this conversation. But when I first got there, they were talking about festivals and that kind of thing. And then this is because they're on the table very close to me. It's not like I was like getting closer and straining myself to listen. I couldn't help but do it.
You probably didn't care. You probably had loads to do. You probably like were really busy.
I was very busy. and not so busy that I didn't get excited about a new serial that they were talking about. And, so they're having this kind of really matey conversations. Which festival should we go to this summer? And then, within minutes, it got really, really dark. And this...
I wasn't expecting that. I knew this had to end with cereal, and I was like, I never expected this twist. That's amazing.
But you know how conversations, they kept repeating the same conversation. This one student was saying, oh, these are my plans for the next few weeks, and then I'm going to go abroad for a couple of years, then I'm going to do a master's, then I'm going to do a PhD, and I'm going to get this job. He's basically saying his 10-year plan. And the other lad was going, I don't think you should do that. And that sounds like a really bad career choice. And I'm going, but no, it's what I want to do. And he said, I think you've got to be very careful with ambition. And he said, I think you should just find a job rather than trying to go abroad and then get an MA's. But he said, it's what I've always wanted to do. And, you know, in conversations, when you're a little, not drunk, but just a little bit, you've just had, you're probably on the cusp. And
where the two people think that the other person might be slightly drunk enough that they haven't quite understood them.
Yeah, and so...
But you're also slightly drunk enough to think that you can explain it better.
Yeah, and so it goes over and over again and keep breaking it up into slightly more detail. And what... If they were having a conversation now, they'd probably go, this is what I want to go, oh, that sounds good. And probably it would last 2 minutes, because they were at that level. But no, the thing about you is... And the other two mates just had to sit there... I imagine this is a scenario that they're used to and familiar with. And the other two, who are kind of the alpha males, they were kind of going, no, but this and that. And I thought, I might get to break up a fight. If this starts flying, I'm gonna get in there. I've broken up a fight before. It was one of the most exhilarating moments of my life. I didn't need to, but I got someone that I was at a party when I was at university, and two people started genuinely kind of swinging punches. And so my friend grabbed one of them, and I thought, I might have a grab. And I grabbed the other one and held him back, and it was brilliant. I'd love to do it again.
That's The Patient with Morning Lights.
I really like that. I'm writing that down in my notebook. What's it called? The
in
Patient.
The Book of Friends.
The Patient.
The Patient is the group or artist, and Morning Lights is
Morning
the song.
Morning Lights.
I'm glad you liked that, John. I thought it was okay. You want to hear what we were talking during the break? Well, music was on, you know, which we consider the kind of low point of the show.
I liked it. I wrote it down in my book.
Me and John were talking about people that we'd known and co-workers, and I worked with someone whose last name was he was Mr. Go-to-Bed. And I just found out on... Would you like to hear about...
I'd love to,
The Go-to-Bed. This is a very unusual surname, one of the most interesting listed anywhere in English. First recorded in the 13th century and now found as Go-to-Bed and Go-to-Bed. cot bed, less interesting, over the 7th century since its creation in early medieval times. It has undergone many changes. The meaning is uncertain. The late Professor Reaney, the acknowledged authority on English surnames, gives the meeting at meaning as what it says. From this we deduce that he meant that beds were such rare things in ancient times that to have one was a matter of local comment, to the point where the person concerned was named from this piece of furniture. Certainly early nicknames were bestowed for much less reason than this. However, it also has to be said that the medieval period was renowned for its Chaucerian humour, which was almost always direct and often obscene. Oh, so basically it's saying that he might be a little bit, he might be a bit of a ladies' man.
Fruit,
as well.
A little bit fruity.
Yeah. The trouble with almost all nicknames, surnames, is that without actually being present when the name was given out, it's impossible to be absolutely certain of the true meaning. Other early recordings include William Go-to-Bed of Sussex in 1332 and John Godbed of London in 1760.
It sounds like they're running out of ideas. And John Godbed, go to bed.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, it's, they've got a lot of names to get through.
And Ian, go to bed. Trevor, go to bed. More examples include Alan, go to bed. And another John, go to bed.
Are you, you're just jealous that you're not...
I am a little bit. Do you think you'd like a name like that, a surname like that? Or do you think
Claire, which is just like...
It's a girl's
it's a
name.
Girl's name.
It
if is you a married girl's a girl, name. She'd be called Claire. She'd be called Claire.
It's true.
Not if she kept her real
But if
name.
She didn't, she'd
if
be
she
called
didn't,
Claire Claire.
Well, I wouldn't go through with it. I'd wait till the day, though. This is a song, and then let's talk about some other things. And maybe, also, if you get any ideas about a good name that I could change my name to. Because I'm about to get married as well, so I might just, like, change my surname to whatever.
To whatever?
Tim whatever.
This is Future Radio 107.8.
This is the Tim and John show. John Osborne. The name Osborne is a medieval English surname, but one of truly ancient Viking origins. It's got inverted commas around Vikings. I don't know if that is real Vikings. The modern surname, in its many spellings, yeah. You know that only too well.
Tell me about it.
Derives from the Norse personal name Asbjorn, composed of the elements as, meaning god, and Bjorn, the bear. That's all right, isn't it?
Bjorn meaning being in ABBA. It derives from both god and bear.
Yeah, I know. You'd think that, like, the whole bear thing would, like, be... You would just go with gods. Don't need to
add... Do you think that I'm a bit of a god bear?
I was going to say, the Vikings, as befitted their warlike image, were very keen on names which indicated strength and conquest. Strength and conquest. If you look in the if you look in my dictionary, there's just pictures of John Osborne under both of those.
Sorry about that. I got carried away.
Yeah, it's really distracting. You can't read the words. The name was found in England well before the Norman conquest of 1066 and was also recorded in Normandy. Perhaps... This is not surprising, as Normandy means the place of the oarsmen. I'm assuming that means Norsemen. And the Normans being the descendants of the land-based Vikings of the 8th century who swept down through northern Europe. So it uses Vikings in inverted commas all the way through this, John, but it doesn't use inverted commas around strength and conquest. So
yeah,
how do you feel about that game? Do you think, name, is it going like, is it going to change your personality now you know you're going to live up to it?
I feel strong like ox. Well, there is this theory about people who do jobs because of their surnames.
This theory about people who do jobs. I've heard about them, yeah. It's not like us.
It's a young theory of people who go into jobs. Like, it's kind of come into...
Like Mr. Carpenter. Like the Carpenters.
Exactly.
Who like,
yeah. Yeah, and the man who does... Or one of the people who presents Gardener's Question Time is called Bob Flowerdew. And there's lots of things like that. And I was listening to a radio programme about it, different philosophers and people discussing it, and they decided the conclusion of it was, like, a really lovely expression, which is just the whimsicalities of chance. And that sometimes people will
that's
do...
just a way of going, isn't it just a coincidence?
It's a nice phrase, isn't it? Whimsicalities of chance. Well, yeah, it's basically saying that it is a coincidence. And that,
that's okay, the kind of annoying phrase that my dad would say if, like, someone stepped in a cow pat. Ah, the whimsicalities of chance. Can you just please give me a bit of stick so I can clean up my boot? I wouldn't be wearing a boot, that's why I paused, but then I just thought, go with it, go with the fiction, go with the fictional world.
You could be wearing a boot.
I wouldn't wear one, though. Not deliberately.
A boot?
Yeah.
You could wear a boot.
I know I could wear a boot, but there's a lot of things I could do, John. I could rap half-heartedly over an instrumental version of Triumph by the Wu-Tang Clan, but I'm not going to... Oh wait.
No, you didn't.
Oh, no, I didn't.
By the way, I now say, oh, no, you didn't sometimes. I quite like it.
What?
You didn't.
Oh, right.
I've been watching lots of American sitcoms.
I thought you'd been watching lots of Panto. That was Craig Finn with Honolulu Blues. Not a great contribution to the crowded world of blues, but it did make me sad, so that's something that a lot of blues doesn't. So, in a way, it won. How are you doing, John?
There's a fancy photos of dogs in the newspaper.
I thought that was what you were going to show me. Look, what can you identify those two types of dogs?
I'm terrible at identifying those. I don't know anything about it. Oh, it says a pit bull terrier, a Tosa fighting dog, a Brazilian mastiff, and Dogo.
I think it's mastiff rather than mastiff.
That's how little I know. I like them. They've got floppy ears and stuff.
Speaking of cute
dogs.
Animals, John. Should we go on to the occasional item on the show, the niche news wrap-up, where I take a magazine of limited interest or niche interest, and I sum up its contents in the best educational and coolest form of all time, which of course is the wrap.
Can I ask you some questions about this magazine?
Yeah.
Have you brought it in with you?
I haven't, but I've got the I forgot it on my way here, but
okay.
I've got the website up here with the latest issue.
How much is it?
It is. I can't tell you that, John. I can't see.
It doesn't matter. You can make something up if you like.
I think it's $2.95. If I'm squinting at this right, it's called Small Furry Pets.
Small Furry Pets. Has it got a crossword? Do you know?
No, it's got a word search. It doesn't have a crossword.
That's all right. Word search is fine.
Yeah, word search is. It hasn't got a cartoon actually. I'm always surprised. Normally they've got some enthusiastic amateur to do and it's quite hard because if you have to produce every month a three panel. Funny cartoon about, say, the metal detecting.
Yeah.
I'm sure after a year you're going, oh, God, I thought I'd have loads of anecdotes from this, but this is actually really hard. They've got coverage of the Burgess Premier Small Animal Show, forthcoming London Pet Show, and Kevin's Casebook, which is real-life accounts of health problems affecting small pets. In this issue, specialist vet Kevin Eatwell. Kevin Eatwell. I wonder if he's a rather rotund figure. I'd love that if he was. I hope he's healthy though. He's called upon to treat a common yet potentially serious problem in rabbits. Wow, exciting! Sounds like All Creatures Great and Small.
It does. I used to quite like All Creatures Great and Small.
Well, imagine if there were none of the great ones. I was wrong, John. I thought it was a word search. Test your small animal knowledge with our crossword, solve the round dozen problem, and see if you can convert rats to mice. I think it means probably with some word-based change rather than actually, biology.
I think these people are missing a trick not having a word search. It seems an easy way to fill a bit of space.
You're allowed to make your own small furry pets word search. I think the problem is that after you've done one, how do you keep it going for the whole thing? It's got guinea pigs are the main feature this month as well. Also about expert Nick Mays discusses what is involved in keeping the highly intelligent rodents, the rats, and there's a talk with Anna McKinnon, the youngest person in the UK training to be a judge of fancy rats.
Oh.
Fancy rats is a thing. So what I've done is I've taken this, John, and I've summed up basically all the knowledge.
Oh no, you didn't.
You're getting good with that. into rap format. I should say that I'm trying to practice this. I've never once managed to get through it without mucking it up. So that adds an extra. Well, I'm not saying that to make people think sort of let me off. I'm actually hoping that it introduces a kind of exciting element of peril to the thing, because I know some people don't realise that I'm doing this live, and I hope that my mistakes will let you know that. So I'll just get on with it.
With it.
Yeah. Let me know if the beats are too quiet or too loud, but otherwise. people of the fine city. This is Tim Clare coming to you in the year of our Lord 2012 with the latest from the world of diminutive domestic mammals. Our magazine is Small Furry Pets, and this is the Niche News Wrap-Up. Here we go. Down at the base of your mum's hibiscus, frown on your face so you must have missed us. Fly like discus, flow so viscous, no prisoners when we show those whiskers. Dutch in the hutch till we feel like gangsters, poor touch the clutch, spinning wheels like hamsters. Top deer, cops, tineer, lock ears, drop gears, chop chop hop, clear slot beers, pop cheers. Tough from the start like the life of gerbils, kill your own kids like the wife of Goebbels. Lot of real strife for the best of verbals, that's your one written word. Warning all the rest of verbals. Your nerve curdles, yellow like a Lego minifig. Legs start to go when you say hello to guinea pig. See his nose twitch, feel your feet like lead clogs. Foes and div nose defeat, meeting pygmy hedgehogs. Ripping up bars, flipping scripts like beer mats. No one compares cause we're cute like meerkats. Hear that? We're squeaking on a higher frequency. Cheeks filled with treats, got you beat as far as we can see. Squirrels fill tills with bills and wind skriller. Bring cha-ching ching, then chill with chinchilla. Drink a blue brew, sink a few. Slink through a mink or two. Dude, check the kinkajou. Ooh, I think she wink at you. Karma's calmest, cunning harmers of the marmot. Armed like a arm that ain't bought the farm yet. Breaking news, Daegu's running loose like goblins. You know what they say, mo bunny, mo problems. That concludes this week's Niche News Wrap-Up, brought to you by the first to last F, or the one and only Future Radio. Polishing diamonds until they shine pretty. Rocking the citizens of this fine city. So you want to do a freestyle while the beats are still on, John?
No.
That's it then. That was my Niche News wrap-up for today. And this is Cajun Dance Party with The Race.
Interpol, say hello to the angels. Hello, angels. So we're going to do a new feature now. Well, we started it last week. It's called John Osborne's Lies.
Seems he's a good boy, does what he should, boy. Seems he's so very nice. But if you think that you're just a dingbat, in for a big surprise. Don't be a thickhead, there's something wicked behind the friendly eyes. Don't be a victim of John Osborne's lies.
Yep.
John Osborne's lies.
Here we go. So the format of this is I give you three pieces of information. One of them is true, two of them I've made up. And this week it's about football. Last week it was about meeting Craig Charles.
I got it wrong as well, didn't I?
You got it wrong, yeah. So let's keep a tally of this, actually. So I get a point if you get it wrong, and you get a point if you get it right. So I'm winning 1-0. This is exciting.
So that's football immediately gone into football terminology, I noticed there, John.
That's right.
If he'd said 15 love, I would have been... No, I don't know tennis either.
Okay, so this is something that I saw on the news this week. It relates to Brazilian football. So if you've been keeping up with your Brazilian football knowledge this week, you'll be fine with this. There was an incident this week in Brazilian football where a goal was not a goal. Was that because...
Oh! And two of these are lies, then?
Two of these are lies, one is the truth. You've got to pick which one is the truth to equalise, to make it 1-1. Number one, when the striker kicked the ball into an empty net, the ball boy ran onto the pitch and hoofed it clear, then ran away. OK, number two... When the striker scored, he removed his shorts and pants during a celebration, and the referee reversed the decision and sent him off. Number three, the referee disallowed the goal for no discernible reason, and the next day it was revealed the striker had been having a relationship with the referee's daughter, and the Brazilian authorities have forced the game to be replayed.
Okay, so what was the first one again?
First one is, when the striker kicked the ball into an empty net, the ball boy ran onto the pitch and hoofed it clear before it crossed the line, then ran away. So talk me through your thought process.
Well, again, like, I've gone for kind of, like, logic rather than actually watching you to see where you start doing some tells, and I wonder...
I was trying very hard not to give any tells away.
But apparently, in poker terms, that's when you get the most leakage.
Oh, because
I think the people who do the best, like there's sort of two schools that you sort of see on poker on TV, and one is just like they wear shades, they wear like they have an iPod in, and they've got a cap, they've got like quite a high shirt, and they just keep completely still, or people are very gregarious, so you're just throwing out so much information that you hope, like, within that, like, it'll just get lost because you'll just be saying things all the time. I would say that I was trying to listen to think what was the most likely. The ball boy one, I suppose he would have had to kick it from so far away, and it would have had to have been one that was just, like, trickling in. I just think... you know, that seems to me the second one. At the same time, I just can't. Who would strip? I think if I get this right, he wasn't wearing any pants either.
He removed his shorts and pants.
That's a lot. Why would you? That's crazy.
Some footballers are crazy.
That's just like I kind of love him. That's the kind of thing a toddler would do if they like find out that there was going to be like chocolate cake. Would just be like or like
I'm taking these off.
I won't be needing these. And then the final one. That just the way the
affair
referee,
with daughter.
Did it for no discernible reason, and then there was affair with daughter afterwards. That seems like a ridiculous urban legend, but it's so recent that I don't think if that had happened. My reasoning with that is if it had been ages ago, I would have gone for that, but I would have said you need to check the credibility of the story because that sounds too soap opera-y and just like and just ridiculous. So. I would say, I'm going to guess. I feel like I'm being so suckered into this. I'm going to go for B.
Oh, the removal of pants. No.
Oh, no!
You are wrong. I am right. Well, I'm not right. I get a point by default. I'm 2-0 up. It was the ball boy.
Oh.
I'll read you what happened. I'm going to tweet it as well because you can watch it on the Guardian website. I've just put it on the Future Radio Twitter feed. Ball boy saves goal during football match in Brazil. A ball boy casually pops onto the pitch to save a shot with his feet during a match between Guarani and Sergipe to decide the camp. I could stop saying all these Brazilian words. In a last gap. Effort to grab an equaliser. The keeper went forward for a corner, leaving his own net empty. His opponents broke free, only to be denied by the ball boy. The incident was irrelevant as...
I was going to say, because they were already...
They're already 1-0 up, but they would... and you can watch it, he runs onto... It's like he's pre-planned it, but he can't have done, because he can't have known that that scenario would happen. He jogs onto the pitch, hoofs it off the line, and the ball has to cross the line, even though it was going at a pace that it would have crossed the line. The laws of the game say that the ball has to cross. So that's it. That was fun. I like that.
Oh, well, yeah, because you won.
Yeah, more next week. You feel free next week. You can prepare some if you want.
I am going to prepare it. I do want to prepare a truth nestled twixt lies, because I feel like...
In an attempt to get some points back.
Yeah, yeah.
And some rep.
I'll go with something. I'll go with a specialist video games fact, because it turns out, you know, you being a sporto, the world of sports is a right mare's nest for me. I don't really know what mare's nest means. I imagine like a kind of nest of horses, which just seems... That can't be a thing. Horses don't have nests, do they?
Okay, here's the House Martins with a happy song.
Yeah! John, I've got my top five Beatles songs.
Oh, good boy.
Happiness is a warm gun. While my guitar gently weeps. Day in the life. And your bird can sing. I am the walrus.
And the walrus is your number one. Interesting. And your bird can sing is about Marianne Faithfull, isn't it?
Is it?
Yeah, I think it's a tribute to... Well, it's a sly dig at Mick Jagger. da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and your bird can sing. I quite like that.
I thought it was about, like, a parrot.
No, sadly not. I've brought some things in with me after the next song. Me and Molly...
I imagined you were immediately going to dive your hand into a felt bag. Sorry, I'm sure it's great, but, like, it just... things normally come in a felt bag with a drawstring.
Yeah, ideally, yeah. Molly and I presented a Drive Time show last week on Wednesday, and she told me beforehand that she'd found this website called... it's kind of a dating website for people who were convinced that the apocalypse was nigh, but also also were lonely and wanted someone to share that with. So she brought in some of that, and it was quite interesting to read through. And so that made us go on other different forums and that kind of thing. And I found one of the most beautiful forums I've ever seen. It's just about advice. It's people who want advice. And I'm going to read some of them out. I'm not going to read any of the bits of advice out, but just the titles are kind of like a snapshot of Britain.
Are you going to do sort of like different funny accents for the people like they used to do when they were dubbing over voices on Eurotrash?
No. This is Fun Loving Criminals. The Bad Back. When to Book New York. Incident with 1 year old at nursery. Long, sorry. Suspended from work. Anyone heard about the banana diet? What is covered in a hosepipe ban? Workmate told a lie to get off work for the day. Venice or Naples? Is this legal? 6 weeks pregnant. Regret taking this opportunity. Asking a Muslim girl out. Disaster at beauty salon. Cheaper to shower or bathe. When did the jump centre turn nasty? Help iron burn on carpet. Removing limescale on chrome taps. Could the police help, do you think?
I enjoyed listening to that as if it was the lineup for this year's Grand National.
See, they're all of the things that people are worried about at the moment. I find it kind of fascinating. And I went on to a couple of the bits of advice that people were giving out. There's one lady who just wanted advice on a digital camera. And this guy just went onto loads of different, like, the Currys website and Amazon, and, like, picked different things in her price bracket. And it was just this stranger. He was just going really out of his way to make sure that she got a good deal on her digital camera.
I recently asked a question on the on the advice part of Metafilter. Ask Metafilter. Yeah. I asked about haystacks in the 1930s, and someone who had worked on haystacks before they got, you know, building hayricks, gave me a massive long answer and said I could email him about any more. He explained how to thatch the roofs of haystacks.
Wow.
And linked to videos of people doing it. And because it's really hard to find stuff on how to build a haystack online, because all the websites are either modern haystacks or it assumes that you know the basics. Yeah. And I was like, I don't even know when hay is harvested and whether you have to keep it indoors in like a barn or a hayloft or outdoors, because I'm sure I've seen both. How do you know the difference? And also, you can't put plastic over it if it's back in the 1930s. And he gave a really, really long, detailed answer. It opened with, something I actually know about. Mm-hmm. So I think he was really pleased.
Things in your life didn't go how you planned. Baby, put down the knife, come and take my hand. It's a golden land, and it's called the Tim and John Show.